From the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Wednesday, December the 20th, 2023. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. And to get things started on the right foot, let's go to
the Daily Denogram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call on that one. And this one comes to us from Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr., who said, "It's a pleasure to give advice, humiliating to need it, and normal to ignore it." And yet, we all get it without asking.
Finally, some censorship we can get behind.
Moving right along now to the so-called educational part of the blogcast.
Twisted history.
Let's do this.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happened on this day throughout history.
Get it over.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Okay.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Alrighty.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah, okay. Throw one at us sometime. Surprise us. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1940, Captain America Comics number one, containing the first appearance of the superhero Captain America, was published. Do you have an original? You do, you're rich. And it was on this day in 1957, Elvis got his draft notice to join the U.S. Army for national service. And after training, he went to Germany. And that only served to further solidify his popularity all over the world. It's almost as if Colonel Tom Parker dreamed the whole scenario up himself.
How do I do it?
Oh, those fun-loving Democrats. Man, you gotta admire them. They can't find their own backsides with both hands and a GPS, and yet they're trying to tell the rest of the world how things ought to be. And they've laid complete waste to this country. How is it that I can actually laugh about it? Well, I'm not really laughing. Okay, I'm laughing nervously. Aren't we all, though? Gee whiz. So here we have all this pre-election brouhaha going on, and a new controversy has emerged from the Democrat camp, the left, the socialists, the commies. Vice President Harris is facing accusations that she may be positioning herself to replace Biden on the Democrat ticket. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't get the feeling that the Democrat Party, as in the DNC, wants that. I don't think they want anything to do with her. She's been such an embarrassment. But these suspicions have been fueled by her recent strategic staffing decision, which is raising eyebrows across the political spectrum, not just on the left. Harris recently appointed Brian Fallon as her campaign communications director. Now, that's a move that's been interpreted by some as a signal of her presidential ambitions. Now, did you really, really believe that she didn't have presidential ambitions? Come on, you're a heartbeat away from the office. You're a heartbeat away from the Oval Office, the White House, the finger on the button. Just a heartbeat away from it. And you're going to let this guy run for re-election when he's 81 years old and can't find his own backside with both hands on a GPS. Really? And you're not going to try for it? Sure, she wants it. Of course she wants it. So about this guy Fallon, Brian Fallon, he's a seasoned political aide with a history of working for high-profile Dems. People like Hillary and Chuck Schumer. He's also known for his critical stance on older politicians, including Biden. Yes, he has criticized Biden. Fallon's past comments have come back to haunt the current administration, particularly his ageist remarks during the 2019 Democratic primary debates where he mocked Biden's cognitive abilities. Yeah, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? Furthermore, Fallon's been vocal about what he perceives as Biden's neglect of black voters' interests, which is a valid criticism, taking the president's priorities to task in a 2021 interview with the Washington Post. So now Kamala's actions have led to speculation that she's attempting to distance herself from Biden. Now, come on, he is the oldest president in U.S. history. And his speculation was compounded by a report last month from Reuters suggesting the Democrats lack a backup plan for 2024, implicitly positioning Harris as the next in line. So you're thinking, well, yeah, but what about Gavin Newsom? Gavin Newsom shot himself in the foot, something awful, during his debate with Ron DeSantis. I mean, come on, admit it. DeSantis pretty much hit the ball out of the park. In fact, for as good as DeSantis was, I was surprised how good Newsom was at falling on his face. Newsom just tanked. So then there's Kamala Harris.
We all watched the television coverage of just yesterday. That's on top of everything else that we know and don't know yet. Based on what we've just been able to see, and because we've seen it or not doesn't mean it hasn't happened. But just limited to what we have seen.
My God, what an embarrassment. So then in the background, she's angling to be the replacement for Joe Biden. And you have to ask, well, could she really be any worse than Joe Biden? Don't even try to answer that. So despite all the maneuvering, the posturing, the strategizing, Harris's popularity with voters remains a real concern and should be for Democrats. Her polling numbers have been less than stellar, causing a lot of anxiety among party members about their prospects. But then again, you got to look at it this way. Look at how bad Biden is polling. Could she possibly poll that low? Gotta wonder. So adding to the intrigue, Harris made a pointed comment during a visit to South Carolina where she filed for Biden to appear on the state's Democratic primary election ballot. And she ended up telling CNN, we're going to have to earn our re-elect. I love that. We're going to have to earn our re-elect. There's no doubt about it. So, but think about what she was trying to say there. Forget about how she said it. Although that's pretty unforgettable, isn't it? We're going to have to earn our reelect. Sometimes I think she's inventing her own language and she's just kind of prodding the rest of us to keep up with her. Maybe that's what's going on there, you think? Anyhow, it's a statement that could be read as an acknowledgement of the challenges ahead. Or maybe it's just a not-so-subtle assertion of her readiness to, pardon me using that term, lead. No, let's not use that word. Let's not use the word lead. Let's use the word fill in. Now, critics argue that challenging Harris for the nomination could be full of difficulties, as any opposition might quickly be labeled as racist or sexist, given her status as the first woman of color to hold the vice presidency. But then again, we got with Kamala Harris what we got with Barack Obama. They're not real blacks. What did I say the other day? If you want a real black in the White House, I'm serious, you want a real black in the White House? There's Byron Donalds of Florida. I don't know that he wants the job, but Byron Donalds is not only incredibly intelligent, he's a force. You know who else I'd like to see queue up for that job someday? Yeah, I'd like to see North Carolina's Lieutenant Governor, Mark Robinson. Oh my God, that guy is so good. But right now, the Dem Party, the DNC, finds itself at an intersection. The potential for internal strife as the next election cycle approaches, that's certainly there. It's looming like a dark cloud over the party. The question of whether Biden's going to seek re-election remains unanswered, really. I mean, who can say? I mean, the guy's stumbling all over the place. He can't complete a sentence on his own. He can't ad lib. Saw another instance where the other day he just talking, and then all of a sudden he just kind of trailed off. Oh, well. That was it. There was that long pause, and he said, oh, well. And then you got Harris's recent actions that have only served to intensify the debate over the future direction of of the DNC and the country. So, to be sure, we got a lot of political drama going on. I'm all for it. I think it's entertaining. All eyes are going to be on the vice president's next moves. Is she going to continue to align herself with Biden, or is she laying the groundwork for her own begetting of the presidency? Well, only time will tell. But one thing's certain, these are exciting times. The road to 2024 is going to be anything but predictable for the Democrats. Being one of those creatures who has to live in this very sick world of ours, I hate to say, even I'm shocked at a video that's making the rounds on social media. A lot of controversy over it, a lot of disbelief over it, people scratching their heads saying, I can't believe they would stoop to this. But then again, it's from a radical leftist organization, and they released this video that's left a lot of people feeling that nothing's sacred anymore. The video, which was intended to be a public service announcement promoting COVID vaccination, took a dark turn by depicting the untimely death of Santa Claus. Yeah, that little pregnant pause there was for effect, yes. But they depict Santa dying due to the virus. Now, the group behind this video is none other than what is known as the Jon Snow Project. And they're known for their over-the-top messaging and controversial comparisons, because nothing works better for the left than ultimate shock. In fact, that's who they are. They're shock troops. Just think of the left as shock troops. So, in their latest attempt to influence public opinion, they equated the spread of cholera in the 19th century caused by contaminated drinking water with the current COVID pandemic. And this comparison's been seen by many as a distasteful and desperate attempt. And that's really the most operative word here. Desperate attempt to push their agenda during a time traditionally reserved for, well, family and tradition, American tradition. So the video begins with a festive scene, but in no time at all, drops into tragedy as Santa Claus takes a deep breath and subsequently contracts COVID-19. Now, Santa's demise is used as a shocking plot device to encourage vaccinations. I'm sure there aren't any kids watching this thing, so I'm not gonna get my shorts in a wad over that. But they even go so far as to suggest that vaccines may not be effective, but should be taken regardless. You have to wonder, are these people being paid by Big Pharma? I mean, the narrative has caused a virtual uproar among parents and community members who feel that the portrayal is inappropriate and, to say the least, insensitive. And you know me, I never say the least, especially for a season meant for hope and giving. Critics argue that the shock value of killing off a cherished symbol of Christmas is a step too far in advocacy, crossing the line from informative to just downright offensive. Now, the use of fear and the subversion of a children's icon are seen as tactics. Tactics that undermine the spirit of the holiday rather than promote health and safety. Here's the audio track, and I'll kind of go along with this for you and point out things about this video that you can't see. A storybook.
It was the night before Christmas. Santa took a deep breath.
Oh my.
If only he'd known it would lead to his death.
Showing his coffin here.
Santa always listened when the famous doctor spoke.
Famous doctor? Who could that be?
Too bad they didn't mention that the virus spreads like smoke.
Oh, spreads like smoke. It says, don't let COVID ruin Christmas. Respirators. Next slide says, clean indoor air. Next one, latest vaccines. Regular testing. Boy. And then it says, protect yourself and your loved ones. And then it says, get the facts at johnsnowproject.org. So, I guess you're just going to have to settle for Anthony Fauci as your Santa this year, huh? Now, to be sure, there's been plenty of backlash, lots of it. It's been quick, too, with a lot of people expressing their anger at the group's decision to use such a beloved character in their messaging. I mean, sure, use Santa. Coca-Cola's done it for, what, over 100 years in their advertising, but that's okay because Santa was just having a Coke and a smile, right? And the outrage isn't just about the disrespect shown to a cultural icon, but also about the potential impact on kids who may be exposed to this video. Who knows? You get a couple of leftist parents and they see that video. Yo, look at that. That's good. Hey, kids, come here. Look at this, you know. So the thought of explaining to young ones why Santa won't be delivering presents this year because of a preventable illness is, well, that's a conversation I don't think any parent wants to have, not even a leftist parent. And then again, you never know. I've met some of these leftist parents and they don't have the sense God gave a brick. So amidst the controversy, there are calls for accountability and a reevaluation of how public health messages are conveyed. Now, I will say this. This was produced as a public service announcement. But radio and TV stations don't have to run it. And having been in the radio TV business all of my life, well, from the age of 13, I can pretty well tell you the odds are this will not air. But it will show up on certain websites. You can bet on that. So, while the importance of vaccination and public health can't be understated, the method of communication's got to be balanced with respect for cultural values and sensitivities, and the American public first needs to know that these vaccines are safe, and most of the American public right now doesn't believe they are. So as this video is continuing to circulate, it's serving as a reminder of the polarized times we live in. And I think we became so polarized because of social media. More and more people are using it. There are more platforms for more people to use. You got your Twitter, you got your Instagram, you got your Facebook, you got your, X, which used to be Twitter. So I mentioned them twice, but that's not the point. The point here is we have so many avenues by which we can pass along information. And yes, we can pass along misinformation, but it's like that old saying, let the buyer beware. So, granted, while the intention behind the video may have been to promote a serious public health message, the execution's been just god-awful, and the public is rightfully so, condemning it. The use of Santa Claus' death as a tool to advocate for vaccination not only offended a lot of people, but it also detracted from the intended message. And maybe that should be the case, huh? I mean, it's imperative that we find ways to communicate health information without compromising the values and traditions that bring us together, especially during the holiday season. But during what should be such a joyous time, not just for this country, but for the Western world, the Christian world, do we really need organizations out there pulling off this kind of crap? Here's a story that ran way back on Sunday in Trending Politics. It's written by Cullen McHugh, and it carried the headline, Obama is increasingly worried about Biden's reelection chances. Well, he should be. But let me just read at least part of this to you. It says, former President Barack Obama is increasingly worried about President Biden's reelection chances, a source close to the former president told the Wall Street Journal. You think? As former President Trump continues to surge in the polls, and I mean, he surges on a weekly basis. On a day-by-day basis, he increases. But if you look at a whole week, he surges. So as this is going on, Obama's privately conceded the Democrats could very well lose in 2024. And Trump currently holds a 2-point edge in the Real Clear Politics polling average, which I think is, you know, that's nowhere near reality. I think his edge is much greater than that. And again, it is Real Clear Politics and their poll. And he's enjoyed a remarkable rise in the polls since. And it's attributed to these four separate indictments that were brought against him. The more they indict him, the more popular he gets. Do you think that side is going to learn? Of course not. And that works for you and me. Now, Obama is reportedly, again, according to this source, is reportedly worried that Trump's reelection would be pretty dangerous for democracy. I would like to know just what Obama believes democracy is. What form does democracy take in Barack Obama's pointed head? You know, that thing between his big ears? How would he define democracy? Because his idea of democracy, as it's played out twice now, first in his two-term presidency, and now with this presidency, it doesn't look like democracy to me. None of my friends can recognize it as democratic, and yet it's the Democrat Party. Now, privately, Obama's saying he expects the race to be razor close, and I think that's probably how it will play out. But Obama held a number of campaign events in support of Biden in 2020, though according to an August report from the Washington Post, Obama privately warned Biden that Trump remains politically strong headed into the general election. Now, the meeting was described by Biden aides as a routine catch-up. That's a clever title for it. Though Obama did warn Biden that Trump is a more formidable opponent than given credit for. Of course he is. Look at the legions of fans that Trump's got. And Obama warned of Trump's intense loyal following. I mean, the loyalty is amazing, isn't it? He referred to it as a Trump-friendly conservative media ecosystem. For once, Obama said something that actually had a nice ring to it. A Trump-friendly conservative media ecosystem. Of course, we all know the media was never friendly to Donald Trump. In fact, the exact opposite. But when Trump won in 2016, the only people they could blame were the media. And I figured, with that being the case, I figured the media, the mainstream media, was going to get angry about that and turn on the Democrat Party. But they didn't. And look at them today. Good Lord. So Obama pledged to do everything he could to help Biden win re-election in 2024. But not everybody in Obama's orbit, his inner circle, is sold on Biden. But as the president reportedly lashed out at former Obama advisor David Axelrod for suggesting that Biden should step down last month, I mean, that ruffled a lot of feathers there. But he was right. Axelrod was right. But Biden was right in chastising Axelrod. Because it goes back to what Ronald Reagan warned the Republicans about. He said, do not criticize other Republicans. Yeah. Of course, now, you know, the way the Republican Party is, especially with all these rhinos, you have to criticize them. Otherwise, there's no cleaning that party up. So Biden reportedly called Axelrod a prick and a closed-door meeting. And Axelrod's since backed away from his statements on X, where he wrote that Biden should consider stepping aside and allowing the next generation of Democrats to jockey for their party's nomination. You know, I mean, everybody knows Axelrod, and I do not like Axelrod. I really don't. But in this case, the man is right on the money. In addition to all the stuff that Donald Trump says he's going to do on day one, that one day that he's going to be a dictator, he says he's also going to clean up public education.
On day one, I will sign a new executive order to cut federal funding for any school pushing critical race theory, transgender insanity,
listen,
and other
crowd.
Inappropriate racial, sexual, or political content on our children. Not give one penny to any school that has a vaccine mandate or a mask mandate.
There you go. Boy, that crowd was just so enthusiastic. This is when he was in Reno. And yeah, He's going to go after public education, and it needs to be gone after because, as you know, and I know all too well, public education now is no longer education. It's indoctrination. And when you look at the scores upon high school graduates, when you look at their low level of literacy, it's beyond embarrassing. And there's only one entity to blame for this. The labor unions. Okay, that's really one entity. It's a couple of different unions. I mean, we got what, the NEA and the NFT, National Federation of Teachers. I forget which one of those two this idiot, almost pulled out a word I shouldn't in to describe Randy Weingarten. But Randy Weingarten, I forget which one of those two unions she's president of. But she's a very dangerous woman, very dangerous, and she is extremely leftist, and I do believe that she is a commie. How did this country get here? Well, pardon my harsh analysis here, but I think it's very simple how we got here. We conservatives have been too busy going about our lives, showing up at work, volunteering in our churches and that sort of thing, to be paying attention to what the left has been up to. And quite frankly, when you look at what the left has accomplished in just the last 20 years in this country, 20 years, of course, it goes back a lot further, but what they have managed to accomplish in the last 20 years in this country, it is frightening. I'm talking about since shortly after George W. Bush took office. That's when the left went into high gear to gain control, ultimate control of the country. And they've done it. And the thing that frustrates me most about the Republicans, which is why we got to get rid of Ronna Romney McDaniel as the GOP chair, is the fact that the Republican Party will not fight. Let's haul ourselves into the comedy corner with Mark Evans.
My mom's a great source of material. Does anybody else here have parents like I do that never really caught on to the electronic age? You show my mom a universal remote, she will drop like one of those fainting goats on YouTube. You ever see those things? Well, we finally taught her how to tape on VHS. You fight the battles you can win, okay? I showed up at her house one day and let myself in. She goes, "Hey, Mom, I'm here." And she's in the corner like, "Shh, I'm taping Matlock." Mom tried to help me out with the Super Bowl a couple years ago. NFL fans? Any NFL fans? Well, I'm from Atlanta, so it's not always easy. But you may or may not remember this, but 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, the Falcons blew the largest lead in Super Bowl history. Remember, 28-3 in the third quarter, and we lost. Well, on that day, I was getting off a ship in Belize. My route home was Belize to Jamaica, Jamaica, Miami, Miami to Atlanta. It was a 12-hour commute. My mom, her job's taping the game. My job, don't hear the score. What's the one thing you see in every airport? TVs. Y'all, I did it. I don't know how, but I did it. Earplugs and blinders, I don't know, but I got home, it's like 1 a.m. I get over to her house. I guess I got a little snarky, I upset her. I was going, "Mom, please tell me you didn't mess up. Please tell me you taped the game." She goes, "Yes, I did, Mr. Smarty Pants. Here you go." I was like, "Oh, thank you." Then she looked at me and goes, "But you're going to be disappointed." Yeah. 3 hours of joy and 1 hour crying like a baby is what I missed out on that one. So. Has anybody ever been to the Bahamas? In Nassau, Bahama, that island is 21 miles from tip to tip. In the middle of that island, there's a hotel. On that hotel, there's a sign, and on that sign, it reads, "Truckers, welcome." Let's go through this one together, shall we? How many Bohemians get in their big rig somewhere around mile 1. Knock out 11 miles. Oh boy, I'm tired. Looky there, truckers, welcome. Rest my butt up for that 10-mile drive in the morning. Yeah. Actually, some of you won't laugh because you're probably thinking, well, he probably had a sleeper cab. He wouldn't spend the money.
Make it a wonderful Wednesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
That's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.